Good morning. Some of you jumped. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Heather Dorn, and I serve with Pastor Tom Carver, who will be bringing us the word this morning. We're in the midst of our series, The Heart of Prayer. So we're going through the Lord's Prayer piece by piece, and today we've come to the section of forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So forgiveness and grace will, I think, be two of the big words for today. As we get started, I'm going to ask our ushers to pass around the attendance pads here in a minute so you can register your attendance with us so we know who's here. It's really helpful for us to care for this congregation. And if you're a guest, it's helpful for us to have your information so we can follow up with you and see what you're looking for in a church and get to know you a little bit better. So please sign in. And I want to lift up three different announcements this morning. The first announcement is that on Wednesday, March 4th, we'll be partnering with Mark Twain Elementary School for their Read Across America Day. Last year, we partnered with Thomas Jefferson, which is now closed, for their Read Across America Day. And it's a kind of a week-long celebration in some schools or a day-long celebration of reading, all tied into Dr. Seuss's birthday. And so we're looking for people who are interested in going to some different classrooms and reading a book to the kids in the classroom and being excited about reading. And so we don't have the exact times yet or the ages, but if you are one of the 20 people that we are looking for to go into these classrooms on Wednesday, March 4th during the school day, we have a sign up in either entryway. Sign your name, and then we'll assign classrooms and times when we get that information, which will be about next week. So if you're interested in being part of this partnership with Mark Twain Elementary, please sign up and take the time to be with children and enjoy reading. Next announcement is that we are almost ready for Lent to begin. So Ash Wednesday will be the week before that. It'll be February 26th. We'll have a worship service here at 7 p.m., and it'll be a very traditional Ash Wednesday service, and we'll have a short meditation, and we'll have a chance to have ashes put on our hands or our foreheads or whatever and remember our mortality. And so, of course, speaking of Ash Wednesday, we are going right into the season of Lent, and Linda Manning would like to share about our Lenten offering.
Good morning. I can't begin to tell you how excited the adult ministry team is about this Lenten study. It is by Amy Jill Levine, which always gives us new perspective and challenges for living in today's world. It's thought-provoking, but it's also a very easy read. We'd encourage you to pick up a copy of the book. They're in both narthexes, and the flyer is available with that book to tell you which groups and when they're meeting. So please join us for Lent. If you have questions, of course, see me or any member of the adult ministry team. Thanks.
I've read through the book, and I really enjoyed it. I told Linda, that's one, as a pastor, I was like, oh, I'd be interested in preaching on any of these themes. We'll be looking at Jesus' last week of ministry, and we're going to be starting with Palm Sunday. So we're going to have Palm Sunday in 2 weeks rather than seven. So be excited for that. All right. I invite you to take a moment, center yourself, take a few deep breaths. Feel God's presence in the space and prepare your heart for worship. After the choir's introit, I will invite you to stand and we'll join together in our call to worship. Please rise as you're comfortable. Have mercy on me, God, according to your faithful love. I know my wrongdoings. My sin is always right in front of me.
Hide your face from my sins. Wipe away
Create a clean heart for me, God. Put a new, faithful spirit deep inside me. Let's join in the unison prayer. Lord, we confess that we are stubborn, stiff-necked people. Though we have been forgiven of all our sins, too often we cling to unforgiveness of others. Though we bask in the grace you have offered to us, we are reluctant to offer that grace to our neighbor. Forgive us again, we pray. And through your forgiveness, empower us to offer the balm of forgiveness upon those around us. In the name of the one who forgives us our debts, Jesus Christ, amen. Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In joy and thanksgiving for that, I invite you to welcome the people around you and share signs of love and offer reconciliation. At this time in worship, we share our lives with one another. We lift up our joys and our concerns. We share with one another where we've been struggling and where we or others are in need of prayer, and we celebrate with one another. So if you have a joy or a concern, stand or raise your hand and we'll bring you a microphone, and then we can all hear and be in prayer together.
Hi, I'm Linda Carver, and I was at the Y the other day to take my grandson swimming, and sitting beside us was another mother or grandmother, and she was looking for prayers from anybody she could get, you know, prayers from all churches. Her son, who was 40 years old, is in the hospital. He's a father of three, I believe, and he is in Mayo with a heart condition, and now he has sepsis. And so he's on life support, and she is looking for all kind of prayers. And I said we would do our part at the Asbury United Methodist Church to pray for him. His name is Derek Holland, and he is in need of just healing. Thank you.
Oh, behind you.
Hi, I'm Kay Parch, and I would like to lift prayers up for four friends of mine. One very special friend is Jane's husband, George. He's in the hospital. Another friend of ours who actually is a member at Asbury, she has two brothers, both in the hospital at Genesis East. One just was sent there by emergency last night when she and I were having dinner together. And the fourth person is a very good friend of mine in Springfield, Illinois, who is in desperate need of a kidney transplant. So lots of prayers for my four friends, please.
Hi, I'm Linda Jones. We just got an email from a cousin of ours from Des Moines by way of Houston, because she received the first one. Ken's cousin Pat has a daughter who's in California. Don't know a lot of particulars, but she injured her leg a couple of weeks ago, and apparently if it doesn't get better by Monday, she may lose her leg. So prayers that everything gets better for her.
I have a joy to share. This is Paul DeCamp. My brother David is visiting, and Dave's here to help celebrate my father's 88th birthday.
Wonderful. Becca's up here.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Erickson. I would just like prayers for my uncle. He's been struggling and in the hospital for about a month and a half now with some liver problems. He's been under sedation for a lot of it in ICU. So just prayers for healing and strength because his body's been through a lot. Also a joy, Miles got a part in the solo play last week. Yay!
Congrats, Miles.
I'm Linda Manning again, and speaking of birthdays, we have a 90th birthday from Wayne Zeglin. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
So we'd like to have the pain lessened and recovery speeded up, if at all possible.
Hi, I'm Chuck DeCamp, and I wanted to tell you that I have moved this week. I'm now residing at Ridgecrest Village, and I've been there exactly 1 week. And I'm enjoying it very much. So, and I also enjoy having my son David with us and his family help me move. We had movers take big stuff, and then we have tons of little stuff.
So. All right, are there any others? Lots of prayers for healing this week. So we're going to come before the Lord with a verse of a song. We'll have a time for a silent prayer that you can offer up whatever's on your heart. I'll offer a prayer, and then we'll share together in the Lord's Prayer.
Thank you.
Lord God, in this space today, we've lifted up so many prayers of healing, so many that we know and love that are suffering, that are in need of medical help, need of rest, in need of physical therapy. Lord God, you are the great physician, and so we ask for healing for all of those lifted up, for strength and resiliency, for peace and patience. And we ask for your presence to be with those who are suffering. Wonderful God, we also lift up to you our celebrations, anniversaries, and birthdays, friends and family nearby, the chances to really experience the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We thank you for these chances. And we thank you for the reminders of the ways that you care for us and love us. Wonderful God, we ask you to sustain us this week, that when we are weak, you may lift us up. When we feel alone, we may be reminded of your presence. And when we look around and see the pain and the hurt in this world, we may become the answer to someone's prayer. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. I'd like to invite the children forward to talk with Pastor Tom here on the steps.
To see it. So today we're thinking about when we pray and we pray the Lord's Prayer, and part of it where we say about forgive us our trespasses. Some people say debts or sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us. So today we're thinking about forgiveness. Do you know what happens when you have to forgive somebody? What happens when we forgive? Or why do we need to forgive somebody? Sometimes if maybe somebody did something that we didn't like or hurt us or something that we were maybe mad about, has that ever happened to you where you feel mad about something that somebody did? Never. That's a wonderful place to be. So here's the thing. Someday it might happen that somebody does something that you don't like and makes you mad at them. Or maybe they break something that you like, or play with a toy that you want to have, right? And it makes you mad at them. And what can happen then, as long as you're mad at them, you can't play with them, you can't be nice to them, and so can you. But what the Bible tells us and what Jesus taught us is that sometimes we do things that make other people mad, and that forgiveness is when people can say, I'm sorry, and the other person says, I forgive you. And then, like if your love for that person, your relationship has been broken, then when you say, I'm sorry, and the other person says, I forgive you, that's a way of like healing that relationship or healing your friendship with that person, healing our hearts, okay? So let's practice this. Let's say something has happened that has made us mad, and somebody comes to you and says, I'm sorry. Okay? Can you practice that with me? Say, I'm sorry. Hi, okay. And when somebody says, I'm sorry, then the right thing that God would help us to say is, I forgive you. And then we can be friends again, we can be happy again, we can play together, and it's a lot better than if we're all mad inside, doesn't it? Okay? Trust me on that one, okay? So here's what I've got for you. Here's a picture that is a picture of a heart. And you can see where it has maybe been torn. And what's on there? What's on that heart? You want to take that? What's that look like? Do you know what that is? A Band-Aid, right. So forgiveness is a way that we can heal our hearts. Just like that Band-Aid on the picture, that when we say, I'm sorry, and the other person says, I forgive you, then we can heal our relationship, our love for each other, and we'll feel much, much better. And that's the way God loves us. God forgives us and loves us no matter what. And because God loves us that way and forgives us, then we can forgive other people too, okay? And our hearts can be like the one there that's mended because of God's grace, God's love, God's forgiveness, okay? How's that sound? Is that good? Okay, how about we have a prayer together? Can you fold your hands? I'll say a prayer, and you can say it right after me, and the congregation will help us. Okay, are you ready? Okay. You fold your hands? Okay, just pray through. Dear God, thank you that you forgive us.
Thank you that you forgive us.
Help us to forgive others.
Help us to forgive others.
And to always feel your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you for coming up this morning. We go back into the choir. I'm just going to sing for us now. We're continuing our series on the heart of prayer and looking specifically at the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught us. And this morning we're looking at the phrase, forgive us our trespasses or debts or sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. Again, this is a heart of Jesus' prayer that he taught us to pray again and again and again. And in the scripture reading I want to share now is where Jesus gives more of an explanation of it. I mean, it's one thing to teach it, but then it's another thing to live it. And so as Peter, the other disciples have been with Jesus for a while now, Peter's asking for some additional clarification about forgiveness. And Jesus tells this great story that you have to imagine in your mind. When I tell Jesus' story, just imagine the king and imagine the slaves. So you almost have to kind of not just hear my words, but but see in your own mind what Jesus is telling with this great story. So this is the Gospel of Matthew now in chapter 18. I'm going to start at verse 21. Then Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. This is the word of God for the people of God. Have you ever been there where you've done something wrong to someone that you love and you just feel terrible about it? Think about that for a moment and see what comes to mind. I recall one thing, it's pretty minor, but there was a time when our children were playing basketball in high school, and my father was going to come see one of our daughter's basketball games. And they postponed it till a later date. And I forgot to tell him. So he called on the phone after driving 2 hours from Des Moines to the gym in Cedar Rapids and said, so Tom, when's the game? It's like, oh, Dad, it's been postponed. It's not today. I felt terrible. And I expected the reaction of, you couldn't call me, or I've been 2 hours driving here now. And I remember that momentary feeling of, oh my gosh, you should be so angry with me. And yet Dad said, oh well, that happens. I know how it is. That's all right. I'll drive back. Thank you. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever felt that type of relief when you know you've done something wrong, especially to somebody you love and care for? And they were ever able to offer that forgiveness and what that felt like. Thank you. Today we're continuing our series on the heart of prayer. And the heart of prayer is a conversation. And a conversation is a relationship. And relationships are everything. Beginning with our relationship with God. And how that then affects our relationships with other people. And forgiveness, grace, is perhaps the most important thing that we need to maintain our relationships both with God and with other people. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we pray for your wisdom, your spirit to be with us now, so that we can see ourselves from your point of view and know we're forgiven, so that we can see others from your point of view and be able to forgive them as well. We pray as we open our hearts to your presence, your spirit, and your word, that you would shape us and mold us and change us so that we might forgive others as you have forgiven us. We open our hearts now to your presence in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So at the heart of prayer is forgiveness. Forgiveness is the key to life-giving relationships with God and with other people. You know, now when we read the Lord's Prayer, or when we say the Lord's Prayer, it's either from Matthew or from Luke. But if we were to read on in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus has the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. And we conclude then that, you know, the church at one point added that doxology, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. But if we were to read on in Matthew, Jesus went on from the prayer to give a little bit more explanation. And what he talks about is forgiveness. He says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That makes you think, doesn't it? We've always been taught, I've always thought that, you know, God's love is unconditional. God's forgiveness is unconditional. And yet here it seems pretty clearly Jesus is saying, if you don't forgive others, then God won't forgive you. And I've struggled a long time how to sort that out. And I think the story that Jesus told also addresses that. And what I want to suggest is I've thought about this, is that indeed we are forgiven. God gave himself for us. Jesus on the cross showed us that we're forgiven no matter what. That's unconditional. Before we do anything, God's prevenient grace, God's grace that exists extended to us, is offered to us before we do anything. We are forgiven. But in reality, for us to experience that forgiveness and to feel it and to know it is dependent upon if we do indeed receive it and accept it and rejoice in it. You see, I think there's two elements of forgiveness. There's the elements of actually what we do and what we think, you know, with our head, the actions that we take to say, I'm sorry, and to say, okay, you're forgiven. Those are things that we do with our head, our mind, you know, our actions that we know we need to do. But there's another element in terms of our heart, our emotions, and how we feel that also are very much a part of our lives and how we experience life. So when Jesus is teaching about forgiveness, how important it is, he says you've got to go to one another. He's had teachings about forgive someone else when wrongs are made, and Jesus knows there's going to be things that happen. People are going to cross each other up. They're going to do things. And Jesus said, when that happens, go to one another. Talk to face to face. If that doesn't work, bring somebody else with you. I mean, he's all about relationships. and how to have healthy relationships among ourselves. And acknowledging that there's going to be times when we hurt one another and fall short in those relationships. And God's desire is for healing to happen and for them to be mended and healed. So when it's included in the Lord's Prayer later, as life goes on, Peter goes back to Jesus and asks him this question. Okay, if a brother sins against me, how many times should I forgive them? Seven times? I mean, isn't that a lot? Seven times. Jesus said, no, not seven, but 77, or seven times seven. In other words, ongoing. You never stop. So Jesus then tells this story about the slave who owes like a 100 talents or 10,000 talents, which in today's, I mean, it's like off the scale. It's such a high debt he could never repay it. And so in the common practices of the day, we couldn't repay it. And so the master, you know, takes all of his possessions, his wife, his kids, everything. He's got everything he could take and still couldn't repay the debt. And then in the story, the man, you know, pleads with him, you know, forgive me and I'll repay you. I'm so sorry. And the master says, okay, you're forgiven. Lets him go. Now, this story is really, it's almost a comedy. It's because the extremes are so great. So this slave goes down the street, and here now comes somebody who owes him, a certain denarii, which is like a smaller amount. It's still significant, but it's much, much, much smaller than what this slave originally owed his master. And you know the story, when he came up to him and he says, hey, pay me what you owe. And the fellow says, almost the same word for word. You know, have mercy on me. Please forgive me. I'll pay you. The guy wouldn't do it. He throws him in jail. The other people see it. And they go tell the original master what has happened. And it's like, what the heck? I just forgave you all this. You couldn't forgive this other person. So in the story, the slave called back to the master. Now he's put in jail. And this is where it gets a little bit, you know, he's even tortured. And he's left there in prison until he pays the debt. And that doesn't quite sound like God as a loving, forgiving father, but that's the story Jesus says. And he says, that's what will happen to you if you don't forgive your neighbor, where? From the heart. With the emotions, the feelings that are within you. In other words, I believe God wants us to have healthy, positive relationships. He's offered to us that to us in Jesus, and he wants us to have those kind of relationships with one another. It involves what we do and the actions that we take, but there's also an element in our hearts, our inside. And when there's anger, there's resentment, there's bitterness left within our heart, it eats at us. It destroys us. It harms us. And I believe my interpretation for you is that God wants to heal that. Now, first of all, we have to be aware that it's there and know that there's something within us. We've been crossed by someone else. There's someone who's done something against us. You know, how do you feel about that person? How often is it like, or do you avoid them? Or, you know, there's just that something inside. And sometimes it even can be, you know, you've gone through the motions of forgiveness. I forgive you, sure, but inside it's still, whoa. That resentment can eat up and eat up your insides as well. And even though you've had the experience of forgiveness, it's still destroying you, hurting you from inside. That's what God wants to heal. Now, I want to show you a movie clip, gets at the heart of forgiveness, or as a way to experience, because I can tell you about forgiveness, and you know, I had a pretty lighthearted story. But there are times when people have had deep, dark, hard things that they've had to forgive in their relationships with people. This is a movie clip from a story, a movie that's coming out later this month called Burden. And it's about a fellow, his last name was Burden. And he, in 1996, in Lorenz, South Carolina, two men opened in an abandoned movie theater, a museum, and a gift shop, the Redneck Shop, which was all about the Ku Klux Klan. And again, this is in South Carolina in 1996. It's based on a true story. And there was, they sold all kinds of Ku Klux Klan paraphernalia. There was a museum, and so this was quite controversial. It's very damaging in a racially mixed community. There was a pastor, an African-American pastor, Reverend Kennedy, who fought against that museum and protested and so on. And there was a young man whose last name was Burden, James Burden, who was a part of the Klan, was in the Klan, but then fell on hard times, was rejected, and basically had nowhere to go. And in this town, he knew that this black pastor was somebody who could help. And he went to him, just saying, I have nowhere else to go. And Reverend Kennedy, the story goes on, took him in and forgave him and tried to care for him and his family. But you can imagine the reaction that Reverend Kennedy had from his community as well, the other African-American folks in Lorenz, South Carolina. And so again, I can tell you, but there's something about images and movies and so on that can help you feel it. So let's watch this clip. That's kind of the background. And again, it's a movie that's coming out later this month, called Burden. But let's get a sense of how that feels to experience forgiveness.
They got no food. They live out of the car.
Am I understanding that you would like a room for that man?
You know who that man is?
I know him as a brother in Christ. And a brother.
So what'd you come to?
I'm praying for some kind of sign. If this ain't a sign, then I don't know what is.
So I don't know how widely that's going to be released, but if you're going to go see a movie, that might not be a bad one to go see. It's all about forgiveness. Now, I shared with you my story, which is pretty minor compared to what other people have had to experience in truly forgiving somebody from the heart and the hope, the potential of what that can be. Now, there's a scene in the movie where the preacher is told, you can't overcome hate. You have to replace it with something else. And when Jesus said, forgive others as God has forgiven us, that's how we replace it. When we see what we have done and know that God loves us and forgives us, thank you. I mean, Jesus, he taught it. That was what he wanted people to pray again and again and again. That's the story that he said. Because if you don't, it harms yourself. And so Jesus' very life, his teachings, but then he experienced on the cross, I can't even begin to imagine what he was going through. As he was hanging on that cross in the darkest, deepest agony could ever imagine. And you remember what he said? Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. And if God has done that for me, and I can truly feel it, emotions are contagious. They spread. And it gives me the strength, the power to forgive someone else who's done just like a little thing to me, really. So if you ever hear someone say, vengeance is sweet, don't listen. It's not true. If you ever hear someone say, if somebody does something wrong to you, you do something wrong back to them 10 times worse, don't listen. It's not true. It'll eat you up inside. Instead, to focus on what God has done for us in Jesus. And to let that love fill our hearts to replace anything else that we have within us. That will give us the power from our hearts then to forgive others and love them as God has loved us. Pat, I need to stop that because I know it's not, I didn't turn the sound off. There it is. So here's your assignment. Think of someone who you need to forgive. And here's how you can tell. When you think of that person, what do you feel in your heart, in your gut? That is not doing that person any harm, but it's doing something to you. And maybe they don't even know they did something wrong to be able to share with them what it was, that you can work it out, says, hey, this is what happened, but I want you to know I forgive you because God has forgiven me. And in so doing that, be freed from the turmoil that we put ourselves in when we can't forgive others as God has forgiven us. When Paul's writing it to Colossians, he emphasizes it. You must forgive. You've got to do it. Or else it's just eating you up. And you'll pay the penalty for it of a miserable insides that will wreck your relationships and really do damage to your life. But the good news is that you can experience God's love and forgiveness in your life, and then you can offer it to one another. Forgive others as God has forgiven you. Think and pray about what God's done for you. I really appreciated Pastor Heather's sermon last week about, you know, give us this day our daily bread. Not just physical bread, but Jesus as the bread of life. That the more we concentrate and think about his presence with us to transform our hearts so that we can forgive others the way that God has forgiven us. Okay, you have your assignment? Do you know who it is? It might be somebody that you need to forgive with that God will bring to your mind as the week goes on. And then live out the prayer that Jesus taught us. Forgive us our sins, our debts, our trespasses, as we forgive those from our heart who've sinned, who's trespassed, who's done something against us. Let's go do it. Amen. At this point, we want to share our tithes and our offerings. Knowing as God has blessed us, that God also wants us to be a blessing to others. And so as the ushers come forward, you're invited to share now with the blessings that you've received to continue the ministry of the United Methodist Church here at Asbury. Thank you.
Let us join together in our prayer of dedication. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of grace that you have offered to each one of us. Let us live lives deserving of your love, offering all that we are and all that we have to build up loving relationships with others. We dedicate these gifts to your kingdom and to the grace that overflows into our lives. Amen.
To invite you to a time of fellowship in the upper fellowship hall, refreshments, time to visit and gather with one another, and invite you to back next week where we'll continue and conclude our sermon series on the heart of prayer, and especially how it's hard, it's difficult, and for God to pray or to pray for God to lead us out of evil and through those temptations, those difficult times. God will indeed give us what we need to fulfill his purpose. So you've got your assignment. Somebody, this week, you need to forgive, not so much for their sake, but it is for yours, so that you might know God's forgiveness in your life, and it overflows into the relationships that we share with others. Go in the power now, the Spirit of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to guide you now and forever. Amen.